It's Wake Up Wyoming with Glenn Woods.
Six to time. Double checking here. It is a Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Good. You're halfway through the week. Over the hump we go. It's Wake Up Wyoming. Trigger warning.
Warning. This show contains reference to guns, liberty, limited government, low taxation, the cult of climate change, free thinking, cigar smoking, short people, rubber chickens, Karen's bureaucracy, liberal buzzwords, tour runs, traffic, toilets, terrible jokes, and more. No apologies will be issued. Guest callers may express any opinion they want without fear of being canceled. Unless you're a loudmouth jerk like Dave, then Glenn will hang up on you. Strap in, hold on to your coffee, and feel free to participate.
So, as always, I have to remind, that doesn't mean every Dave anywhere. If your name is Dave, this has nothing to do with you. It's just Dave from San Francisco. When he calls the program, he's just a jerk. Okay, so President Biden expected to announce maybe a $10,000 student loan forgiveness program, and it's expected to cost American taxpayers about $300 billion. And that's supposed to come sometime today. Americans, the story says, poised to foot nearly $300 billion to deal with the president's expected announcement, according to one-time maximum debt forgiveness of $10,000 for borrowers that make less than $125,000. And again, that's about $300 billion. So what are we supposed to get for money for all of this? Well, I'm in favor of taking care of or helping Ukraine. We just sent several hundred billion dollars to them, and we're about to send quite a bit more. Where are we getting the money for all of this? Yeah, borrowing it from future generations. We've talked about this, the massive debt, which will come back to haunt us, already is starting to. By the way, that's part of what causes inflation, but we'll just keep borrowing and sending the money out. So the precise detail story says, so the plan, they're being kept an unusually small circle within the Biden administration and still not finalizing on even the announcement. So they're still working on it. Story says, progressives and liberals have hounded the president to provide broader relief for those hard-hit borrowers, while moderates and Republicans have requested the, fairness of any widespread forgiveness. Or I would rather just say, let's just not. Look, it has been a scam. You know that. And for those who don't know exactly what I'm talking about with a scam, some time ago, remember the savings and loan crash for those who were around for that? Well, what had happened was your government turned and said, under the direction of the left, turned and said, there are people out there who they should be in houses and they should have cars. And of course, those of us who are more libertarian and conservative would say, well, then go work hard and earn those things. Oh, no, it's not fair. It's not right. So they put pressure on banks to loan money to people who would not be able to pay it back. And of course, the banks didn't want to do this. And so they were promised, the banks were promised, I tell you what, you do this, and if somebody defaults, government will help you out. Don't worry about it. We'll cover it. That's where we got into the whole Freddie and Fannie Mae thing. And that's why Freddie and Fannie collapsed and everything else, because we're borrowing all sorts of money. We're loaning all sorts of money through these banks and other loans, credit cards, things like that, that there's no way people could pay back. But they didn't mind these lending institutions because government guaranteed the loans. If you remember during that time, I was getting them. A lot of people were getting in the mail. You have been pre-approved for this credit card. Doesn't matter if you took the credit card and never paid it back. Government would pay it back. The same thing is happening with colleges. Has been going on for quite a while. Government took over during the Obama years college loans. If you want a college loan, you have to go through government to get it. Government is guaranteeing all sorts of college loans. And so universities can continue to build more buildings, hire more people at all sorts of expensive salaries. continue to grow and grow. Because it doesn't matter. Because, look, people will borrow ridiculous sums of money and take it to college. And it doesn't matter if they pay it back or not, because government said that they would guarantee it. It was a government loan through a government agency, right? And so colleges, universities across America, wow, what a cash cow this is. The money's just going to come pouring in. And so there's your great college loan scam. And part of the reason why, when people go to college, they're piled on by all sorts of courses that have nothing to do with what they're trying to focus on as a profession. Just take as many classes as possible. Borrow money like crazy. Take a bunch of classes like as possible. And the universities know they'll get their money because it's all been guaranteed by the government. So here's a bunch of people who have been stuck with these loans, trying to pay them back. They have useless degrees, and now they're turning to government and saying, hey, bail us out, like you promised. That's what's going on here. We also have a generation of people who don't seem to understand the responsibility of, you signed on the dotted line for that. You signed on the dotted line. So you need to pay that. Now, if you're wondering, well, if government guaranteed it, then what's the problem here? Well, government guarantees the university will get the money. But remember, government is running the loan program, so who do they have to pay back? Yeah. Who they borrowed the money from. The student has to pay back who they borrowed it from. So that means that's huge debt to your government. And again, the college system has become a scam. A lot of useless degrees being handed out, and just get these people to spend as much money as possible. That's where we're at right now. So on the campaign trail, Biden proposed canceling up to $10,000 per borrower. So if you had borrowed like $100,000, that's $10,000 of it gone. Now, recent months, the story says, by embracing the income limit as soaring inflation took a political toll, he aimed to head off the political attacks. Of course, this is an election year, and make some kind of a payment. Now, remember, this is an election year. Democrats want to see the president make some kind of a move here because it's an election year. Democrats need something, so quickly hand out money. Story says debt cancellation, this is a quote, debt cancellation would boost near-term inflation. And far more than that, the IRA will lower it, and the CRFB wrote in its analysis. Okay, so this is an analysis by some, I don't know, CRFB. I'll have to look up who that is. But anyway, they wrote in an analysis. Oh, here it is here. The Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, that's who they are. They say debt cancellation would boost inflation in the near term. $10,000 of debt cancellation adds up to 15 base points and would create additional inflationary pressure over time, which is part of the reason when you pump a bunch of money into the economy like the Democrats have been doing. And let's face it, let's be real honest about this. We'll start back during the Trump administration, when the economy was shut down because of COVID and several trillion dollars were borrowed against future generations and pumped into the economy. And most of it went to waste and fraud and so on. But that's part of what added to inflation. Then comes the Democrats and the Biden administration, and they looked at that and said, hold my beer, and outdid the Trump administration by quite a bit. And there's part of the reason, not the only reason, but part of the reason for inflation is just pumping money into the economy like that. For those who know your economic history, Weimar Republic, to name one. Zimbabwe, when their financial system collapsed, to name another. Okay. Just a few places. Venezuela, just to name a few places where they just pumped money into the economy. And so inflation skyrocketed and the economy collapsed. That's exactly what we're doing right now. So, yeah, the president will make some kind of an announcement today, and it's not only not good for the people who borrowed the money because they don't learn a lesson there, It doesn't solve the college loan scam, and it adds to debt and inflation. So let's go, Brandon. 6:16 is the time. Wake up, Wyoming. It's the time. It's Wake Up Wyoming. My name is Glenn Woods. Thanks for joining me. 888-97-WOODS is the phone number. That's 888-97-WOODS. I was just talking about the whole college loan scam thing. And sometime today, not sure exactly when, President Biden is going to offer some kind of relief for college loans. Now, I don't know exactly what money he's going to grab for that because, directly speaking, the president cannot allocate money. That's Congress. Congress controls the purse strings. So unless through some executive action, if the president can take money that was earmarked for something and turn and use it for something along the same lines, okay. But we cannot just directly have the president just take money and give it for college loans. It just doesn't work that way. So I'd really be interested to see exactly what the president has in mind. Hang on a second. There we go. Okay. So they're just sending a note there. So I don't know how he plans to do this. He would have to get normally he would have to get congressional action to approve the money, unless he found a clever way to pull it from somewhere else. And I don't know of anything that sets money aside to forgive college loans like that, because you got to pay that money. Just to erase it from the books, it doesn't quite work that way. Where does exactly it come from? Okay, you can't just grab an eraser and erase the whole thing. So I'm not sure how the president plans to do that. I'll watch. He might have to issue some kind of directive and then try to get the Democrats to do it again, unless he finds money stored away somewhere. I'm not sure how. I do have a story here that and I'm just pausing for a minute to take a look at this. I want to dive into it just a little bit more. And okay, Senator must have dropped. Okay, no worries. So well, I was looking for Josh in Torrington on the phone, but he may not have made it through the break. Josh, if you want to try back, you had a student loan question. 888-97-WOODS, the phone number, 888-97-WOODS. So I'm watching, or I'm listening to Don Day. He's doing that report at, you might hear at about 6:15 or so every single morning. And in part of his report, which is about agriculture, he commented on a story that made me do a double take and go, what? How did I miss that one? So I just looked it up. Get a load of this headline. Peanut M&Ms are healthier than beef and pork, a Bill Gates-funded study finds. Now remember, Bill Gates would love to get you off of beef. So, of course, the study is going to say whatever he pays for it to say. The story says Bill Gates and his meat alternative agenda rise again through his recent funding of a study claiming some candy and cereal are healthier than pork, chicken, and beef. A cardiologist and nutrition researcher and dean of Tufts University for Nutritional Science Policy was funded in part by Bill and his wife and their foundation to conduct research on more than 8,000 different foods and beverages to create a food compass that rates each food on 9 nutritional values and gives each one a score, 0 to 100. So they were looking at vitamins, minerals, food ingredients, additives, fiber, et cetera, right? And when they took a look at all of this, they found that there's some junk foods out there that are actually, they say, better for you than just eating beef. They found a list of foods traditionally considered junk food as less desirable as wild game meats, which rank higher than ground beef, pork chops, and even skinless sauces, chicken breasts, and so on. So let me see. General cereal, Cocoa Puffs. Oh, you'd be better off eating Cocoa Puffs, according to their study, than chicken breasts and maybe even possum. Potato chips and sour cream. That's better for you. Let's see. Corn chips flavored or plain is good for you. Or not good for you, but better than eating beef, they said. Let's see. M&M's. Peanuts and chocolates, they're better for you than eating beef, they say. Regardless of the score, it might be hard to say that Reese's Peanut Butter Cups or Peanut M&M's is considered healthier than ground beef or pork roast, the story says. However, considering Gates' standing agenda of he wants a meatless society, it's no surprise. Well, here again, you know when you're looking at the money given for a study like this, there are researchers out there who, what do they do for a living? They research stuff. That's what they got degrees so they can become researchers and research stuff. Now they have to find people willing to pay for research. And in many cases, when someone shows up waving money in front of their nose, well, they're going to find whatever they're told to find. Because this is part of the reason when government comes along and wave some money in front of somebody's face that, well, we want you to find the following true. And scientists find it true because politicians are telling the researchers, we want you to find the following things true. If you do, the research money from government just continues to come your way. And so researchers will find whatever, the money tells them to find. So in this case, Bill Gates proved that junk food is healthier for you than eating meat. Sure, we can do that. It really surprised me when I heard that with Don Day's report at about 6:16 when he gave that report. I had to go look it up. Shane in Torrington. Morning, Glenn. I know you're a coffee connoisseur. Have you happened to have tried Pillow Guy's coffee? And he laughs. No, but it sounds interesting. Coming up on local news, update on your weather forecast. Wake up, Wyoming.
It's more stimulating than that first cup of coffee. This is AM 1030 K2 Radio.
Of time, it's Wake Up Wyoming. Real quick, I am going to look more into that because the story is just fascinating to me. If you just tuned in, I found, well, Don Day did his morning report, which is all about the cattle industry and livestock and so on, which he does every single morning at about 6:45 a.m. or so. And the story was a study funded by Bill Gates and his wife, who want the rest of you out there to stop eating meat because, you know, save the planet and all that. And the study shows that eating certain kinds of junk food like M&M's is better for you than eating beef and chicken and fish. That's how bad this stuff is. So you got to stop eating meat, right? Okay. Well, I did watch yesterday a John Stossel. John Stossel is one of my broadcast heroes. He put up a very well done YouTube video where he shows how many so-called studies out there are really just garbage because someone, whether it's government or some private individual or group, shows up with a bunch of money and tells researchers, we need you to find this to be true. And so the researchers will go prove whatever they're being paid to prove, whether it's real or not. I have another story like that coming up later on this morning. I'm going to put that on the side for just a minute. I want to answer Rhiannon in Fort Danger. She was listening to my first topic this morning, and she said, liberals don't realize that if you give the government the power to take care of you, they can and will stop on a whim, then that leaves people destitute. Well, I have a slightly different analogy for you, Rhiannon. I actually thought about this. God, it was probably about 20 years ago that I came up with this analogy, but I still use it to this day because I'm really kind of proud of it. So I want you to picture a young girl, just a kid, right? She's in elementary school. She got some birthday money, and she goes to the candy store. And when she's at the candy store, the woman behind the counter that runs the candy store looks at the little girl holding her money and says, "Hello, how are you?" And starts to yes, ma'am, the kid, and sweet talk the kid. Why? Well, the kid has the money, and the owner of the store wants that money. So she will be as sweet and nice as possible, because if the little girl is holding a $20 bill, the owner of the candy store wants that entire $20 bill. She wants all of it. So she will, boy, will she play up a game to that little kid to try to get all of that money. All right. Now imagine if the kid gets her $20 birthday money from grandma, but mom comes along and takes the $20 and says, "Well, you can't just spend it the way you want to spend it. So you're going to buy a bunch of junk. So yeah, I'll be with you supervising." So they go into the candy store. Now, at this point, the owner of the candy store is looking at mom, because you see, mom is holding the $20. And the owner of the candy store is yes, ma'aming and being nice to mom and not really paying much attention to the kid. Why is that? Because mom is in charge of the money now. Okay? Who gets to make, who's the decision maker now? Not the kid. Mom is, because mom has the money. So, let's take a look at, for example, healthcare. When you are going to see a doctor or you're dealing with your pharmacist, whatever the case is, and the money is yours, who's in charge? Right. But if you put government in charge of your money, so government is going to tax money away from you, that's supposed to be for what they call, you know, free healthcare. Of course, it's not. And then you show up at the doctor's office, or you go talk to the pharmacy, or your insurance company for that matter. Well, government is in control of the money now. So when you go to see your doctor or your pharmacist, who are they listening to? Who's the doctor listening to? Who's the pharmacist listening to? Who's the insurance company listening to? Well, they're not listening to you anymore, because you're not in charge of the money. That was taxed away from you, and now the government has it. And so, well, those people who normally would have you in charge, because you're holding the money for your health care, now they are in charge. Government is in charge. You no longer have any power. The power is in the hands of the person who has the money, which is one of the reasons why I'm in favor of a free market. In a free market, you control your money, okay? And you have to pay for everything yourself. The advantage to that is you are always in charge. You are the decision maker, the ultimate authority. And whether it's the store owner or the doctor or whoever else, they see that. 642, Wake Up Wyoming.
Just to talk, this is Wake Up Wyoming with Glenn Woods on K2 Radio. Be part of the show at 888-97-WOODS.
It's the time. It's Wake Up Wyoming. It is a Wednesday, so over the hump we go and into the icebox where Frank Gambino is waiting by. Frank, I decided to go ahead and look up what percentage of people believe what different things out there.
Okay, and there's, you'd be amazed at those
yes.
numbers.
And the first thing I found out is 97% of the time I misspell the word percentage.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a zero and a line and then another zero.
I should have just used the percentage thing instead of trying to spell the word percentage.
No, forget it.
Because I got it wrong 97% of the time. Okay. UFOs exist and are visiting Earth 36%.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm still waiting for them to show up in our parking lot.
I'm still waiting for you would think. It's Wyoming, after all.
Yeah, I mean, come on down. You know, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, and yet 65% of Americans believe in aliens. Now, that's something different because I will say that there's obviously life out there in outer space. It's so big, but I just don't know whether they've been here or not.
No, I don't think so because the price of gas is too high.
Yeah, it's really high at this point. Yeah, so your interstellar trip. Yeah. Let me see. Mm-hmm. Number of people who believe Bigfoot is real, that's actually up. up now to 13%.
Oh, and it was what, 12?
It was like 11% just a couple of years ago.
They must have saw something on the internet.
I think so, yeah. Well, I think during the COVID thing, a lot of people saw their fat, hairy neighbor go outside for the newspaper. And so they believe now that Bigfoot is it.
If Bigfoot existed, why isn't he in a zoo? Why hasn't he been on live TV?
So you're one of those who says he doesn't. I know that, though.
Right.
Okay. 50% of Americans believe ghosts are real.
You know, it's probably... I wouldn't put it by that there are ghosts, but I have not seen any.
Okay.
And none of them have entered my life as far as I know.
Okay.
I mean, as soon as it does, I will let you know.
Okay.
But it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, see, for me, what really was convincing that I'm not buying into all of this is I wrote a novel, a published novel that was a ghost story, but it's fiction. And because of that, some people that part of a ghost hunting group wanted me to go ghost hunting with them. And when I got done, I thought, I now absolutely do not believe in these things after watching these people work.
Right, yeah. Ghosts are fiction, aren't they?
Yeah. 72% of Americans believe in hell.
I do.
Yeah, okay. And
hell on earth.
Yes.
Not in some spiritual thing.
99.7% know that the Rockies are just the worst.
That's a given. Well, the high school football season will start on Friday within the 4A ranks, kicking things off. And the Trona and Casper has some high hopes after making the 4A semifinals last year. And one of their returning players is Caden Farr, who was severely burned in a flash fire earlier this year. And he's out there practicing in a starter. It's miraculous he's out there at all. And what about the rehab process from that accident?
It was very long. It's still happening right now. And it was very frustrating because in the hospital... I woke up after the incident and I couldn't move both my legs and I could barely get up and I couldn't walk, and it was just very frustrating because I wanted to get out and get back to it, but I had to take it slow and slowly get up and walk every day. So it was kind of frustrating not to be able just to go back at it.
The Trona opens up the season at Laramie on Friday night. Now for Kelly Walsh, they were 3-7 a year ago and did make the 4A playoffs. However, they've certainly have some room to improve. Now they have to replace a guy who was just a tremendous football player, and that was Cameron Burkett, who was the Millward Simpson Award winner, and he had rushed for over 1,000 yards. And normally speaking, Kelly Walsh does not have the size. And this year they're going to start out the season taking on Rock Springs at home, and Coach Aaron McKelkey knows there's going to be a big challenge.
I mean, they're a huge problem when you have film. They motion shift, trade, do all sorts of personnel groups. They're very multiple. But plain and blind, I don't know, maybe it's actually a good thing because we can't over-prepare, and that's what they get you to do is look at all these things on the charts and the scouting reports. So we're flying blind against them. One thing I know we got to get better at is the timing in our passing game. Early on, that's always a struggle.
And the rest of the 4A ranks on Friday, Campbell County will be at Cheyenne East, Cheyenne Central will be at Sheridan, Cheyenne South at Thunder Basin and Gillette. Wyoming Cowboy football team will start the season at Illinois on Saturday afternoon. Head coach Craig Bull hasn't named a starting quarterback as of yet, but Utah State transfer Andrew Peasley appears to have the inside track. That's a 2 p.m. start on Saturday from Champaign. We'll have that for you on K2 Radio in Casper and KOWB in Laramie.
He hasn't made that decision yet. Clock's ticking here, buddy.
Well, yeah, he may have.
Oh, okay. He just didn't say anything.
He's not telling the world.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. All right.
I mean, just because they don't say anything doesn't mean they don't know anything.
Yeah, okay. Because I figure, you know, you're going to want to practice with that guy in charge.
And they have been. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's an espionage thing.
It's too early to tell. I'm going to ask you this a little bit later on in the season, because every so often as they play, someone stands out as this person's outstanding as is going places.
Right. And that takes some, you know, what you've done last year is a good start.
Yeah.
However, you have to start repeating it this season.
Yeah, there you go.
And it takes a while.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Coming up on some local business we have to take care of. Yeah, roll into news time after that national local update on the weather forecast. And I have a whole list of, you're just not going to believe the junk I've lined up for you today. It's disturbing, it's annoying, but it's entertaining at the same time. When you realize the level of stupidity of the people who created it, I'll tell you all about it as soon as we get through this news and information break. It's Wake Up Wyoming. Wake Up Wyoming. My name is Glenn Woods. It's a Wednesday, so over the hump we go. And we're getting real close to starting school here. I keep hearing people talking about the start of school. Are you like me? Even at my older years now, I'm not going to say I'm old yet, but yeah, I'm getting into that arena. And when I look at a school bus go by, to this day, I just feel like I'm in trouble for something. Like I'm supposed to be on that bus, and why aren't I in school? I don't know about you, but I still have that. And I still wonder, who allowed me out? And who expects me to be adulting out here? When did that happen? That somebody turned and said, well, you're an adult now, Glenn. You can handle this stuff by yourself. Are you insane? You want me to have responsibilities and stuff. Okay. Your mistake, if that's the case. Never did feel quite like the adult that I thought I was going to feel like. When I was a kid, this was a big revelation to me. When I was a little kid, I used to look at adults and think, well, I can't wait to be an adult because they have their act together, boy. They know what they're doing, by gosh. Now I am an adult and I realize how screwed up the world is and has always been. And I look at kids and I think, you know, in a lot of ways, kids are a lot wiser than we are. Not perfect, but by God, a lot wiser than we are. Especially when I watch adults and I hear what they say and I watch what they do. And oh my God, are we a mess. But okay, having said that, let's get back to school. And so first one, and this is where a lot of Americans, it is earned, it is justified, are really having a hard time with the American school system. COVID really helped that along. For the longest time, there were parents out there and people like me in media saying, hey, our school system's really a mess. We got a problem. And for the longest time, there were a lot of people out there who just didn't pay attention. But then the whole COVID thing happened, and this is where kids were told, go home, turn on your computer, log into class. You will be in class virtually. And, of course, parents had to be home because the kids were home. And parents finally got a chance to see what their kids were being taught. And it was shocking. Now we have parents showing up at school board meetings, giving the school board a hard time, with some success. There has been some places, no, but in other places, there's some success. So here's some headlines I'm going to go through with you here. One headline, when will they ever learn? Wisconsin school district changes sex education curriculum despite protests by parents. On the other side of that, Florida, New York, Oklahoma lock in primary nominees for critical races in school districts, rolling over the school districts, basically. Texas school district bans critical race theory, will not promote preferred pronouns. A North Dakota school will once again recite the Pledge of Allegiance. So let's just take a look at a couple of these. The one I'll start off with the school in Wisconsin that apparently just, it says, will never learn. A document, the story says, provided by the school district to answer frequently asked questions, notice that children in early grades are likely to be, well, it says, sexually abused or to report sexual abuse when it happens and have a higher self-esteem when they know the correct name for their body parts. Okay. So the document also defined the use of language such as most boys and most girls, but also you can't say girls. You have to say, this is inclusive language, a person with a vulva. You can't say girl. Okay. They want to use inclusive language, likely to help them feel safe and thrive in their educational environments. And so they're encouraging languages, not parents, caregivers and families, but not parents. And they want to get away from words like mom and dad and, you know, things like that. Well, you got to be inclusive with things like this, right? The outcome for this curriculum, the story says, blasted by the National Sex Education Standard State Statute. It was reviewed by committee. Quote, this is a dark day for Wisconsin students who are taught a curriculum that reduces them down to their body parts, according to one critic. wholly inappropriate, said some other people. So that's a school that hasn't learned their lesson. We're going to find out what happens next there. But let's go to Texas real quick. This is where, again, parents didn't know that this kind of stuff. You mean they can't call me mom or dad? You can't say boy or girl? Really? Texas school bans critical race theory and will not promote preferred pronouns. We're kind of going through the same thing here in Wyoming, but okay. The story says an independent school district in Texas voted Monday to ban teachers of teaching critical race theory and not promote or require or encourage the use of any kind of preferred pronouns. It was a 4-3 vote. As far as I'm concerned, it should have been unanimous, but okay. It implements a strict process for reviewing library books and requires that students use restrooms and locker rooms that align with their actual sexes, the genders that they were conceived at. Library materials must be posted online and readily available for review by parents. So this further bans the teaching of sexual orientation and gender identity and does not allow things like the New York Times 1619 project. Such a close vote, the story says, result of a recent May school board election in which a tie-breaking board member was elected on an anti-critical race theory platform. So that's why we had such a close vote. That's the thing to me that was disturbing, that that was a close vote. Now, again, here in the state of Wyoming, we have had several people even run for our superintendent in public instruction, the school marm, based on a campaign of we're not going to allow that in our schools here in the state of Wyoming. Okay, we're going to teach. It's just going to be education. We're not going to get into social engineering. We're going to just get into education, not social engineering. That's not the role of your school. Let's go to North Dakota on this one. And I always got to ask people, am I saying that right, North Dakota? I think I am. All right. North Dakota public schools will once again recite the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of the day. So on Thursday, the Fargo Board of Education, North Dakota, reversed its decision and will once again allow a reciting of the pledge. Last week, the board voted to cancel previous edicts that mandated public schools and governing bodies to recite the pledge. Lawmakers faced a backlash over the decision. When the board voted last week, 7 of 9 members voted to cancel the pledge. The edict was just approved a couple of months before recent elections. Following the elections, 4 new members were elected. So you see what happened there. So they had a vote. 7 of 9 members said no more pledge. Then we have an election year. And now that's been reversed. This is where people start to pay attention to what happens in their schools. And this is where I've complained before that for the longest time. What we did here in America was just trust that everything was okay. We just told the kid, go get on the bus. And the kid just went and got on the government bus and went to the government school. And nobody really paid attention to what was happening in there. And this kind of engineering was happening. Well, now people are paying more attention. Now, this is also where I say, if you're somebody who would like your kid to go to a school that teaches critical race theory, you want that. That's why you find me in favor of school vouchers. If that's what you want for your kids, send your kid to that school. A parent that would like their kids to learn something else, go to that school. We have charter schools. We have private schools. There's homeschooling. There's all sorts of other options here. Rather than everybody has to go to the same government institution, you see how well that's been turning out, especially when parents have not been paying attention. And a lot of parents, we've talked about this over the past couple of years, have really been shocked. It's been shocking to them. They show up at a school board meeting to complain, and they get a load of what's on the school board and how the school board treats parents when they actually show up. Because like most government meetings, when they're holding the meeting, they're in a big room. There's all sorts of chairs for the public to come sit. But other than a couple of reporters and 1 or 2 parents, nobody shows up. The room is empty. Then finally, one day, the room starts to fill up. And that's where these school board members around the country start to get nervous and annoyed. and really don't want to hear from the parents. And if you've watched online, you can watch videos of this, as parents stand up with legitimate concerns in the way they're treated by some school boards around the country. I'm making sure to say some, because there's other places where they actually have a good school board of decent people who actually do pay attention, okay? So when parents show up, they actually listen to their concerns. Depends on where you are, but there are some school boards out there that just they just don't want the parents to even show up to the meetings. Get really mad and annoyed, and it shows. So I'm glad to see across America more parents showing up. I'm still the school voucher guy. If you want your kid to get a certain kind of education, fine. There should be a school for that. And we shouldn't force everybody, every kid out there, to learn what you think all kids should learn. It's not up to you. It's up to the parents of those kids to make those decisions. It's not up to the government to decide. It's up to the parents of those kids to make those decisions. 717, Wake Up Wyoming.
Get Truckee with...
...than a soggy morning porch paper. You need Wake Up Wyoming with Glenn Woods on K2 Radio.
It's the time. Wake Up Wyoming, 888-97 Woods, the phone number. Just came across this meme here. Once you hit 50, you got to sit at the edge of the bed and warm up like an old Buick before you get up. You know, okay. I've passed that, but I'm still the weirdo that when I usually wake up before my alarm clock, but if the alarm clock does wake me up, either way, I just sort of leap out of bed. Yeah, I know, I'm weird. I've always done that. Okay. Some of the headlines, I talked about this earlier this morning, some of the headlines. So the president sometime today, maybe even this morning, plans to do something to forgive student loan debt. Now, I wonder still, doesn't this take an act of Congress? How does he plan to just sign something to do this? Because Congress controls the money. He's just going to take an eraser to the debt? Well, okay. Taxpayers will be on the hook for about $300 billion at least. It's not all debt everywhere. If you're making below $120,000 a year, it would be about $10,000 forgiven off of your loan. So if you owed like $80,000, let's say, on your student loan debt, you would owe now $70,000. Okay, helpful, but not the whole thing, right? So the NAACP slams Biden over the handout. I'm going to get to that one first. Costs have soared, multiple rates of inflation over 50 years. And I've explained in the first hour of the program, part of the reason why college has become such a scam when it costs so much to go to college and how they jack up that price and get as much money out of it as they can, most of it through the student loan problems. And also, student loan handouts won't give Biden and Dems the political payoff they want. That's an opinion piece. One senator says, handout of student debt would create perverse incentives, lack of decision-making, things like that. Let's try that NAACP story first, because I thought, why would the NAACP be complaining? NAACP slams Biden over reported student loan debt cancellation. What is their problem with it? I'm going to guess before I, because I haven't seen this yet. I'm going to guess before I get into it. Not enough? What do you think? Story says NAACP slammed reports that Biden administration is planning to cancel about $10,000 in debt, canceling calling the plan inadequate. There you go. To address the $1.75 trillion in student debt held by Americans. Quote, if the rumors are true, we've got a problem, and tragically, we've experienced this so many times before, said the NAACP president. This is not how you treat black voters who turned out in record number to provide 90% of the vote once again to save democracy in 2020. That's what the NAACP thinks it did, but okay. The Biden administration has been discussing several different plans, including eliminating $10,000 per borrower, providing the borrower is making less than $125,000 a year. Such a plan could cost the American taxpayers hundreds of billions of dollars, it says. Administration already spent Well, okay, we're over $30 trillion in debt, so I'd like to know where is this money coming from? But let's just read on. President campaigned on canceling student debt to that amount. Progressives have said, no, you need to wipe out at least $50,000 for all borrowers. NAACP has been pushing for the president to do a minimum of $50,000. Quote, the student debt crisis has proportionate impacts. Disproportionate impacts on black borrowers and their families, said the NAACP president, across all racial groups. Of course, he's got to make this a racial thing, of course. Study at Penn State, a nonpartisan budget group, University of Pennsylvania, estimated canceling $10,000 per borrower would cost about $300 billion, they estimate. If the president goes that route, they want him... Obviously, it seems to me obvious, probably to you too, that this is timed because we're in an election cycle. So it's timed. No matter what happened, though, it's not going to be enough. It's just not going to be enough. If the president said, I want to cancel $50,000 for anyone making under $125,000, again, that's not going to be enough. You got to cancel it all, Mr. President. Okay, let's take a look at how college courses have soared over this time. And I talked about this in the first hour of the program when I talked about what has become the college scam. Because colleges, universities know that if you borrow a bunch of money, they're going to get that money. The government's going to make sure they get that money. Now, you're supposed to pay back the government. Because remember now, during the Obama years, they took away private loans to go to college. If you want to borrow money to go to college, you have to go through government in order to do it. So that means money will be guaranteed to the college anyway, even if the borrower doesn't pay it all back. And so college see this as an opportunity to build universities and college, hire more employees, bigger salaries, more buildings, grow, right? Because the government money will just keep pouring in. Which is one of the reasons I've been saying over the years that there's so many, if you go to college today, there's so many things that they demand you take as far as college courses, which have nothing to do with the degree that you're going for. They're just trying to ramp up the cost. All right, here's the story. Americans are experiencing sticker shock these days everywhere, from the grocery store to car dealerships. Still, data shows sky-high inflation, everyday goods does not hold a candle to education. The cost of attending college U.S. has ballooned multiple times, way past the rate of inflation over the past five decades, according to analysts. Using data from a college board last year, they found that the average cost of going to a private college, including tuition fees, books, room, board, went from about $2,930 per year. Stop and think about that a minute. To go to college, classes, room, board, books, other such thing, 1971 was about $2,930. Now, you have to put that in 1970s money as well. How much did people earn back then? Okay. Let's see, to $51,690 in 2021. So today, average, we're talking average, it'll cost you about over $50,000 a year to go to college. That's an increase of roughly 4.6 times the rate of inflation over the past 50 years. So the price tag for colleges has soared from about $1,410 annually in 1970 to about a little over $50,000. So why has the cost of college outpaced inflation? Studies suggest institutions of higher earnings are able to hike costs due to federal government increasing generosity. And especially that, again, that loan program, which has become a scam. It doesn't matter if the student doesn't pay back the loan. The government's going to make sure the college gets its money. So the college will do all that it can to get as much money as possible. Of course. One of the reasons why I would love to, again, just to get the government, you know, I want to get government out of so many different things. One of them is out of college education and just privatize the whole thing. The idea that some people push for, we need free college. No, you need to start earning things as early as you can in life so you understand where things actually come from. Well, our country has so much money. No, other people in the country have money. You're broke. You want some money? You got to get out there and do what you got to do to earn it. You want a good education at a college? Then you need to go figure that out. People used to work their way through college, you know. Some still do. 7:29 is the time. Coming up on Local News Update on your weather forecast right after that. Then you and I get back into it. It's Wake Up Wyoming.
Glenn Woods on AM 1030 K2 Radio. Join the show at 888-97-WOODS.
Six of time, Wake Up Wyoming, 888-97-WOODS, the phone number, that's 888-97-WOODS. So I did come across this, and not many news organizations yet covering the whole student loan forgiveness thing, which Biden may forgive a portion of some student loans to some people sometime later today. So I did get this from Fox News. They went out and just talked to hardworking Americans who paid off their debt. One gentleman says, in general, I am skeptical of what the government does, says Bruce, North Carolina, and I would be highly skeptical of government forgiving all or part of anyone's student loan. To do that, he added, you'd have to be breaking contracts, which is not good. Let's see, another one here, 42 years old, digital marketing expert. Okay, it took me 19 years to pay it all off, that person's student loan. If I hadn't made extra payments toward the principal a few years ago, it would have taken much longer. But that person, you know, I find government handouts highly suspicious, and they often comes with handcuffs. There's another suspicious person. I like to make sure to read the fine print on any loan forgiveness deal. Oh, you're not going to get a chance to do that. Here's someone who's saying if they don't learn the dangers of taking out too much debt the first time they do it, what's going to happen with them later on down the line? Okay. That's some Americans responding to that. Now, let me see. I do have, and thank you for sending this to me, Lisa. So here is Rand Paul. I'm going to play part of it. I don't have time to play all of this, but I am going to just play part of this. Here's Rand Paul. Rep. Sam Paul, Democrat Party. Okay, this has to do with something that happened a long time ago, back when government was a lot more frugal with the taxpayer money.
There was an essay written in 1867 that was published in Harper's Magazine. It was called Not Yours to Give. It's the story of Davy Crockett as a congressman in the late 1820s. Like most stories of that vintage, some will argue that the story is an accurate rendition, while others may say it is apocryphal. The moral of the story, however, is incontestable. Davy Crockett only served two terms in Congress, but on one day in Congress, he was confronted with a bill to give money to the widow of a military officer. Davy Crockett arose and gave this speech. Mr. Speaker, I have as much respect for the memory of the deceased and as much sympathy for the suffering of the living, if suffering there be, as any man in the House. But we must not permit our respect for the dead or our sympathy for a part of the living to lead us into an act of injustice to the balance of the living. We have the right as individuals to give away as much of our own money as we please in charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of the public money. Davy Crockett continued, I'm the poorest man on this floor. I cannot vote for this bill, but I will give a 1 week's pay. I will give my check for 1 week. And if every member of Congress were to do this, it will amount to more than this bill asked for. When Crockett finished, there was silence, and remarkably, the bill failed. When later asked for an explanation, Davy Crockett explained. He said, several years ago, I was standing one evening on the steps of the Capitol when we saw a large, great light over Georgetown. It was evidently a large fire. We jumped into a hack and drove over there as fast as we could. In spite of all that could be done, many houses were burned and many families were made homeless. And besides, some of them had lost all but the clothes they had on. The weather was very cold. And when I saw so many women and children suffering, I felt that something must be done. The next morning, a bill was introduced appropriating $20,000 for their relief. We put aside all other business and rushed it through as soon as it could be done. Later in the year, when Davy Crockett was back in Tennessee, he ran into a constituent by the name of Horatio Bunce. Crockett asked him for his vote, and Horatio Bunce responded thusly. Said, "You'd better not waste your time on my vote. I shall not vote for you again. Your vote last winter shows that either you have not the capacity to understand the Constitution, or that you're wanting in honesty and firmness to be guided by it. Because the Constitution, to be worth anything, must be held sacred and rigidly observed in all its provisions. The man who wields power and misinterprets the Constitution is more dangerous the more honest he is." Horatio Bunce continued. He says, "No, Colonel, there's no mistake. The newspapers say that last winter you voted for this bill to give $20,000 to some who suffered from a fire in Georgetown. Is that true?" Congressman Crockett answered him, "Well, my friend, I may as well own up. You've got me there. But certainly nobody would complain that a great and rich country like ours couldn't give $20,000, the insignificant sum of $20,000, to relieve its suffering women and children." Horatio Bunce replied to Congressman Crockett. He said, "The power of collecting and dispersing money at pleasure is the most dangerous power that can be entrusted to a man. While you are contributing to relieve one, you are drawing it from thousands who are even worse off than he."
So, and the congressman, or the senator, pardon me, Rand Paul, goes on from there. But important lesson that today we are well beyond, and I don't think, except for maybe Rand Paul, there's maybe other two members of Congress that understand what he's talking about. 7:42 is the time. Wake up, Wyoming.
Hi, this is Ken.
Opinionated, but never boring. Wake up, Wyoming, with Glenn Woods on K2 Radio. Join the show at 888-97-WOODS.
The time. Wake up, Wyoming. Off we go to talk to Don Day. Day weather. So, Don, JW is in Guernsey. He sent me a note this morning. Got a little bit too much needed rain last night. So I guess they got...
Yeah,
pretty good. It looked that way on the radar anyway, but I didn't track
it. There was an area of heavy thunderstorms that stretched from that Guernsey area, the Platte County area, into Niobrara County, especially as you got up along that higher ground. We call it the Pine Ridge. That higher ground that is basically in that Lusk area, part of that Pine Ridge, goes north of Douglas, northeast of Casper, then into western Nebraska and southwest areas of South Dakota. Anybody that's been to Guernsey knows about that. You know, you get into those bluffs, those hills, that higher terrain, and that was enough to get those thunderstorms going there. And, you know, that's a great example. Never ever does just the right amount of rain fall. It's either too much or it's too little.
Yeah.
Rarely is it just right.
Now, here's an interesting factoid before we get into the little weather that you got for us here today. So I was in Casper. I'm looking at Casper Mountain, and the radar shows a lot of red up there. And some of the rain did cross over to the Casper side of Casper Mountain. But the storm could never seem to cross. It just kept building up and raining on the other side. It just couldn't make it over. And we're all standing here going, any minute now, we're going to get hammered. It never happened.
No, in this type of environment that we're in right now, the higher terrain, that higher ground, like Casper Mountain, is helped to maintain those thunderstorms. So as they grow taller and higher, they do catch the upper level winds, but the lifting mechanism of the air rising over the mountain is the reason why you have those thunderstorms over the mountains in the higher terrain. And in the pattern we're in right now, they're just having a hard time coming off. And if they did, they would probably not be able to maintain themselves.
Okay. See, I like asking Don stuff like this because he loves talking weather stuff. So, okay, let's talk about the next couple of days here, because the nights have been cool, the days have not been too hot, and every day seems to get just a tad bit wetter.
Yeah, we're going to call this the copy and paste forecast. We're copying today's forecast into tomorrow, and we copied yesterday's forecast into today. It's just not going to stay be any different. Okay. We'll continue to have these afternoon and evening thunderstorm chances. Maybe a little less of a chance today, but still there. Tomorrow, Friday, we do, as you said, we do see those chances get a little bit higher, but it's the same basic pattern. The morning sun, afternoon clouds, warm but not hot, thunderstorms will develop. They'll dissipate as we get to the evening and nighttime hours, and we just do it all over again the next day.
All right. Thank you, Don. Don Day with Day Weather and Catches Podcast. You can find that on YouTube, and he does that every single day. Shortly after he gets done with me, it pops up on YouTube where you can see in detail what he's talking about. Let's head over to the icebox. We got you out of the fishbowl a while ago. You're in the icebox now.
I'll be wherever you tell me.
It's fine, yeah. So if you know something about it, we did get some news last hour. Super Bowl winning Hall of Fame quarterback.
Oh, Len Dawson, yeah, he passed away. He was 87. That guy not only was a great quarterback in the days where the Super Bowl really wasn't even called the Super Bowl, but he also broadcast for years and years and years. And then had his own show on HBO. And, talented all-around guy. Len Dawson, he was good at everything he did.
Wow, 87 years old, that's good. He seemed to be going pretty strong right up until the end. That's the way I want to go. Just keep doing stuff right up to the end.
Really? Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I don't want to stop. Yes, you do. But now, you said he was in the Super Bowl before they called it the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was like the AFC-NFC championship game, the very first two, and then they kind of changed it over to the Super Bowl. It was the same game. It wasn't just technically not named the Super Bowl.
Okay. Then some marketing genius came along and said, I know what we call it.
It was one of the owners of the team that figured that out. The owner of the Chiefs, actually, said, we call this something.
Yes.
How about Super Bowl? Okay.
Okay. See, I was all good with stuff like that because that's great marketing stuff. And I understand that they want to make as much money as possible. It's when we started naming stadiums after, like in Tampa, that's named after a law firm.
Right, well.
And then let's name a Dorito Stadium or something like that.
Why is they pay?
Yeah, again, I know they want to make that kind of money.
No. That law firm pays big bucks.
Oh, that big time. Oh, yeah.
Those are all naming contracts that are...
Yeah, I understand it, but I like it better. Remember when Tampa had the big sombrero?
Right, yes.
See, and it kind of looked like that. That one they've torn down here. I prefer that to some nickname or the name of the team, stadium.
Right. How about just where they play football?
Yeah. What if I start naming, I tell you what, I'll start naming stuff that I have so sponsors will go ahead and, you know, after whoever wants to sponsor it. Someone wants to sponsor my car, fine.
Exactly. All right. The high school football season starts on Friday and with the 4A ranks getting going to kick things off. Natrona and Casper has some very high hopes after making the 4A semifinals last year. One of the returning players is Caden Farr, who was severely burned in a flash fire earlier this year. He's out there practicing. It's just miraculous he's out there at all, so it's a real testament to fortitude. As for football, Farr thinks this team has all the pieces to be successful.
I think we could go all the way. I think so. If we keep our mind right and everyone does what they're supposed to do and everyone steps up and is a leader, I have a team full of leaders, I think it's going to work out how we want it to.
The Toronto will start the season on Friday night with a road game over in Laramie. Now, Kelly Walsh, they will be at home on Friday to meet Rock Springs. The Trojans were 3-7 a year ago, and they made the playoffs, but there's room for growth. And, you know, these season openers are a learning experience for sure. And KW head coach Aaron McKelkey has named senior Gibson Sasser as their starting quarterback.
Backups and contingencies, but he's earned that spot. He finished there. He's worked his butt off this offseason. He's gained weight. He's got a big arm. He's second fastest guy in the team. So there's no doubt in anybody's mind he's a starter.
So for the rest of the 4A ranks on Friday, Campbell County will be at Cheyenne. Cheyenne Central goes to defending 4A champion Sheridan. Cheyenne South will be at Thunder Basin and Gillette. Wyoming Cowboy football team, they'll take on Illinois to start the season on Saturday afternoon. Head coach Craig Bohl hasn't named a starting quarterback as of yet, but Utah State transfer Andrew Peasley appears to have the inside track. Appears as a 2 p.m. start on Saturday from Champaign. We'll have that for you on K2 Radio in Casper and KOWB in Laramie. That's it in sports.
Yeah, there was a guy some years ago, and he was actually successful because of the publicity he got out of the ploy. It worked for a while. He would let a company put the company name on his forehead.
Right, yeah, I've seen that. And you know what? It's free money.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, got to walk around with a logo on your forehead.
Well, I mean, so what? I mean, yeah. I could do that, I guess.
Would you like to name my house? You can name my house. I'll put a sign out front. That's fine.
What would you name your house?
I'm not sure. Well, whatever company, the, I don't know, the Dorito Homestead or something. I don't know. Pick a company that would probably be some lame company. Give me a few bucks, and I'll go ahead and paint your logo on the side of my house. I'll do that on my car, too, if you want.
Really?
Sure. Yeah, I'll drive down the road with your logo on the side of my car if you pay me enough. Why not?
How about, would you accept a funeral home as a sponsor?
Sure. I do drive
even for your house?
Black, now, you've seen my vehicle. It is black. It is an SUV. People would believe it.
They would.
They would, yeah. All right. Thank you, Frank. Coming up on some local business we have to take care of. Well, why not? I mean, if anything can be sponsored these days, you want to sponsor my vehicle? Fine. Coming up on some local business we have to take care of, news time. Open phones in the 8 o'clock hour, 888-97 Woods. A fake study about Wyoming once again shows that we're just doomed. That's in the 8 o'clock hour. Wake up, Wyoming. Six of time. It's Wake Up Wyoming. My name is Glenn Woods. Thanks for joining me. Gorgeous morning out there. Wednesday, over the hump we go. Okay, stop the music so I can start the music. Put everything aside. I had just mentioned off the cuff to Frank Gambino last hour, just a few minutes ago, that it was a football legend, a great football legend, which means I have no idea who he is, but 87 years old, and he died. And the way he died is something that always impresses me. This guy was just go, 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 go. He led a very good life and kept himself active right up until the end. And then one day just forgot to wake up. That's what I wanted. I just want to keep going until one day. I want to just die in just the weirdest possible way that'll freak out everybody around me and be funny as hell. That's how I want to go. But mainly, I just want to keep going. I don't want to be someone who sits around and just wastes away. I've always hated watching that. Okay, having said that, people start sending me all sorts of notes on the app. Now, the Wake Up Wyoming app is free to download. Download it at your app store. And one of the things you can do is just hit chat and send me text messages while I'm on the air. So all sorts of people have started sending me notes about how they would like to die. Fine. If you want to go there, just take a couple
Set
of minutes.
Set fire to your hair, poke a stick at a grizzly bear, eat medicine that's out of date, use your private parts as piranha bait.
Hold that thought for just a minute here, because, of course, I had to refer to the Darwin Awards. Remember what planking was? Planking was this internet fad that came around for a while where you're supposed to lay out on something, I mean, flat, and get your picture taken there. In some way, that looks absurd. Just go to some place where you can lay yourself out flat, especially if your arms and legs are sticking out in empty space, and get your picture taken. That's planking. I know it was an internet fad. It's weird. May 5th, 2011, young man, 20 years old, decided to try his hand at planking. He stretched himself out face down on a railing and plunged five stories to his death. The motorcycle helmet protest. Protesting motorcycle helmet laws in New York, a man was participating in a helmetless ride, and he flipped and died because he wasn't wearing a helmet. Wheelchair fail. Handicapped man rammed his wheelchair into elevator doors three times after being irritated and then plunged down to the bottom and died. Double Darwin, a young couple driving along via, a large freeway in Brazil, decided to stop along the side of the road for a quickie. They managed during the part of their interlude there to nudge the parking brake. They went over the edge. Yeah, I hear someone who's traveling at high speed in a Chevy downtown County Road 519 when she and her passengers decided to swap seats at a high speed. Yeah, and her foot, of course, and the steering wheel, and they veered off, and you get the idea how that ends. I say, do a barrel roll. During the American Spirit Car Series in Washington State, members were working on a custom machine shop when they decided to make things a bit more interesting. The men put a 55-gallon barrel in the parking lot and poured in 4 gallons of methanol, set on top of it to light it on fire, thinking it would basically skid them across the parking lot. But, of course, it blew up beneath them and forced them into the air, way up, and then they landed way, way far away, and they were done for. You're getting the idea here. Now, I don't want to die because I did something stupid. I just want to die in some way that makes people go, what the hell just happened there? That's how I want to go. During a heated martial art dispute, a 25-year-old man picked up his 20-year-old wife and threw her off the 8th-floor apartment balcony because she became tangled in the power lines. He immediately leaped from the balcony and fell towards his wife to help her and missed. The woman managed to swing over to a nearby balcony where she was saved, but he, you know. Let's see. Poland, so you can write your own Polish jokes. Cut off his own head. He had been drinking with his friends, so of course alcohol was involved. It was suggested they strip naked. Alcohol was involved. And play some men games, whatever that means. Initially, they hit each other over the head with frozen turnips. I'm not making this up. This actually happened. But then one man took it to the next level by cutting off the end of his own foot with a chainsaw. It just went from there. Yeah, this alcohol was involved. That's a 25-year-old chemistry student had acquired a peculiar habit of dipping northern Ukraine city of, and I can't pronounce the name. He dunked his gum into a chemical, then stuck it into his mouth. That caused an explosion that resulted in the lower part of his face being blown off. Always know what you're putting your gum into. Now, this is from the Darwin Awards website. Just going back a few years. You can submit things. If you find someone who died in some weird, absurd way. Let's see. Evidence must be verified. I'm looking at what you have to do to submit. It has to be astoundingly stupid judgment. Oh, that's easy to do. Nominees must be dead or rendered sterile. Capable of sound judgment? No, they can't be. And they have to be the cause of their own demise. So in other words, what they did couldn't have killed somebody else. It has to kill them. Todd and Casper, I want to die like my grandfather, peacefully in my sleep, not kicking and screaming like the passengers in his car. See, this is kind of the stuff that I'm talking about here, right?
Get your toast out with a fork. Do your own electrical work. Teach yourself how to fly. Eat a 2-week-old unrefrigerated.
Wake up, Wyoming.
Be ready. The right way. Wake up, Wyoming, with Glenn Woods on K2 Radio. Join the conversation at 888-97-WOODS.
Hey, 19 is the time. Wake up, Wyoming. All right, 888-97-WOODS is the number. 888-97-WOODS. By the way, I had a story from earlier this morning. If you missed it, after the show is over, you go back to the Wake Up Wyoming app and hit On Demand, and you can go back and listen to the show and any other show and all of the fun, weird bits that I play, too. They're being released by Miss Mary season by season, so those will be on there, too. Anyway, the story I had this morning, apparently according to a study that was done and paid for, but with a lot of money by a rich dude. The study says that eating things like M&Ms and other candy bars is actually healthy for you, healthier than eating meat. Of course, these people, Bill Gates and his wife, want to get you to stop eating meat. So that's why they had a study done to prove that you're better off eating junk food than meat. If you want the whole story on that, again, when I get off the air, just hit on demand, pick today's episode, and you can listen to the whole bit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the only hit song he thinks he ever had.
You're driving a big car. I come on your radio. I say the end's close. You just say no. I say it's global warming, but you call me a liar. But this planet's on fire.
That's Al Gore, of course. So here's what I came across. This was a study, I'll put that in air quotes, study, that was done, and the story was picked up by Wyoming Public Media. You ever notice that when someone does a climate study, it's always a disastrous result that's going to happen, and it's always our fault, right? No one ever does a so-called study on the climate, and they come back with, hey, if the trends continue in the next 30 or 50 years or whatever, something wonderful is going to happen. You never hear that. It's always a disaster. It's always our fault. And the only way to solve the problem, they need more of your money and more power over you. I really would like to find some climate studies that show wonderful things happening, but they never come up with that. Interesting, huh? Well, here's the latest. So, heat waves, the study says, will hit the West much more. For those of us who live out West, will hit the West much more often in 30 years, according to an analysis. Now, hold on. Some time ago, I was on the air talking with Don Day from Day Weather, and I mentioned the 10-day forecast, and his answer was, slap on the wrist for looking at the 10-day forecast. Because while he might reference the 10-day forecast, whenever you hear him do it, he always cautions, but of course, that's the 10-day forecast, so we don't really know. He does the same thing with the 5-day forecast. He'll tell you what the weather's going to be 5 days from now, but he always cautions. But that's the extended forecast, and a lot can change between now and then. There is a story out right now where Don Day predicts what's going to happen this winter, which he says could be colder and snower. Okay, colder and snower. He says that, but at the same time, he comes back with, but of course, we're talking a long-range forecast. We don't know. A lot can change between now and then. That's what the models are saying, but models are not fact. He says that. All right. So here comes somebody who wants to do we can't even trust a 5-day forecast, according to meteorologists. But here's someone who's saying, so 30 years from now, this is what the West is going to be like. Here's what it's going to be drier. It's going to be hotter 30 years from now, according to the study that we have here. How do you know? You can't even get next week's weather right, but you're going to do a 30-year forecast, huh? Okay, well, here's the story that I found on Wyoming Public Media. New research suggests that the prevalence of extreme heat spikes over the next 30 years. The odds of heat waves hitting the West Coast and Mountain West will be higher in most of the rest of the country. That's one of the findings in a report published this week by the Street Foundation, a nonprofit research group. I always doubt nonprofit. We're a nonprofit group. I'm sorry. So nobody there who works for the group makes any money? Oh, I'm sorry. People who work there make a salary and make a pretty good living, but that's nonprofit. Okay. They analyze climate risk in the U.S., the group modeled the frequency and duration of hazardous events over the past 3 decades. Now, here's what I love doing this. So we've been modeling the events of the past 3 decades, and if trends continues, as we get closer into the fall and winter, I love pulling up a bogus story that I repeat every year at that time. Have you been noticing the days have been getting shorter? Yeah, every day, the days have been getting shorter for like the second half of summer. And in the, that's just the northern hemisphere, though. In the southern hemisphere, the days are getting longer. Now, I ran the numbers on this and calculated it. And if the numbers hold true, if this trend continues, at some point, the entire southern hemisphere below the equator is going to have all the daylight. And the northern hemisphere will be plunged into utter darkness if trends continue the way they are. Unless, of course, things are cyclical and we go back and forth between seasons, you know. So what this study does is it says, well, if current trends continue that happen 5 days from now, we have a good idea. But watch, do this. So I do this all the time because I get fascinated by science things in general. I love watching what weather does. I'm always looking at the forecast. I love talking to Don Day every morning. 7:45 every morning he's on with me live. Partly because I just love talking to the guy about science. He's really interesting to listen to, all right? So, as I go through these trends, what's happened over time, I notice that we cannot predict. We can take a look at what happened in the past, and that gives us an idea of what might happen in the future. But really, we don't know. And we're surprised all the time. Now, predictions that have been made in the past, Don Day just recently said that we have this La Nina, El Nino effect. Okay, so the La Nina effect is when it's, this is the water that's just south of the equator in the Pacific. When that area gets really warm water, that's El Nino, and that gets really, really produces a lot of weather for us, and we have wet seasons. When we're in the La Nina, it's really cold by comparison. And so because of that, moisture doesn't rise up out of the Pacific, and we don't get that much weather, and we get into drought for a few years. Now, that trend has more to do with cycles of the sun heating up that area of ocean than anything else. So a bunch of computer models were put out to predict last year, and the prediction last year was, well, we're going to leave La Nina and move into El Nino. And even Don Day said, and the models were garbage. It didn't happen. All the models predicted it, but the models were wrong. Now, he holds out hope for this next model that shows we'll come out of it, but he's waiting. All right. Meantime, it was predicted that we would have more hurricanes, and they would be stronger and happen more often. But the opposite of that has been happening. More tornadoes and bigger tornadoes were predicted, but the opposite of that is happening. Now, we will have some hurricanes this year. That's for sure. We'll have some hurricanes. But so far this hurricane season, this entire year, in fact, has been really quiet out there. Hurricanes have not been bigger and badder and more often. We have had an occasional year. We've had a pretty active, ask my sister in Florida. We've had a year now and then where it's a pretty active year. But in between, we have these long stretches of not much going on. So what happened with all of these predictions? And I'll finish where I started. You ever notice that every time they come out with some kind of a climate prediction, it's always horrible news for us. It's never good news. And it's always all our fault that this happened. So if you want to see what I'm talking about, because I have links to everything that I just described, go to the Wake Up Wyoming site. Okay. Take a look at the story and click on all of the links and follow it. Once again, a 30-year disaster prediction is made. And I'm still holding up, hey, guys, how am I supposed to trust your 30-year prediction when we're still not sure what's going to happen in 5 days? We don't know what Sunday's forecast is going to be, really. Watch the weather. Check out your 5-day forecast online and watch it as we approach the fifth day. Watch how much it changes between now and then. News time, weather forecast, Wake Up Wyoming.
Morning, news, weather, and a pocket full of opinions. Wake Up Wyoming with Glenn Woods on K2 Radio.
8:36 the time. It's Wake Up Wyoming. My name is Glenn Wood. So, okay, I just got done going through a story where it didn't surprise me. It was picked up by Wyoming Public Media and to put out there that we have in the next 30 years, oh, it's just going to get really nasty out there. It really is. Heat waves like you wouldn't believe out west. Oh, it's just going to be horrible. And as I'm pointing out, that every single climate prediction that's made like this is always devastating. They never make good climate predictions. We as humans never do anything good for the planet. We're always destroying the planet. And the only way to solve it is to take away more money and more of your own personal power and control over your life. So I called up once again. I'm not going to go through all of these, but I'm just going to go through a few of them. I do this every so often. This was put in the New York Post some time ago. 50 years of failed climate predictions. Some of you have heard me go through this list before. Let's take a look at a few. 1972, UN Environmental Protection boss warns, we have 10 years to stop this catastrophe. That headline was about climate panic. It'll take trillions of dollars to fix the planet. And this was all about global cooling, by the way, not global warming. 1982, environmental catastrophe, irreversible. As executive director of the United Nations Environmental Program, saying if things aren't fixed by the end of the century, the year 2000, the world will face environmental catastrophe. Worse than any nuclear war we could ever put on. Now, 1989, UN senior environmental officials that year had dire predictions that we needed to fix our planet from global disaster, crop failures, all sorts of things like this. Let's see. 1990, we shall win the climate struggle. Now, if you think climate struggle, remember, most of this up until then is still global cooling. Then all of a sudden, it's global warming. 1990, the arrival of the end times turned into, well, a Guardian newspaper science report. And even George W. Bush said, we got to watch out. Climate change could destroy us. And the Pentagon was saying that climate change will destroy us. This is about the time they finally got to global warming over global cooling. That suddenly changed. And they predicted major European cities will be sunk under rising seas, which, by the way, was supposed to have happened already, but didn't. Britain was supposed to be plunged into a Siberian climate by 2020. That's global cooling, not global warming. Nuclear effect, mega droughts, famine, widespread rotting of crops. The Guardian described the Bush administration as not doing enough to tackle what was obviously coming our way. Here's another one. Let's see. 2007. Head of UN climate panel. If there's no action before 2012, it's too late. Have you heard this before? Remember googly eyes Ocasio-Cortez saying we have 12 years to save the planet or we're done. And several of those years have already ticked away. Here, and since I've been reading this from the New York Post, we've had several predictions. If we don't do something by 1990, if we don't do something by the year 2000, if we don't do something by 2012, it's too late. This is from the United Nations in a press release. Only 11 years left to prevent irreversible damage to the climate. We have to do this by 2012. This is a UN report. We're the last generation that can prevent irreparable damage to our planet. Okay, so those are just some of the failed climate predictions out there. Oh, but I got more than that. Let me see. Let me back up a little bit more. 50 years ago, failed global warming doomsday prediction. Oh, here's another one that I love doing. Because this goes back so long. I mean, and so many predictions. Let's see here. More an apocalyptic. Associated Press headline from 1989, rising seas could obliterate nations. Again, didn't happen. That was supposed to happen by the year 2000. Didn't happen. Then there were the fears that we would experience never-ending cooling trends around the northern hemisphere, global cooling, 1978. Just years prior, Time magazine echoed other media outlets suggesting another ice age was imminent. Telltale signs everywhere, from unprecedented persistent sickness of snowpack and ice and so on. And we have to do something, according to magazines out there. Oh, I love this one. Southwest migration of warm-loving creatures like the armadillo from the Midwest. 1974. The Guardian similarly warned us in 1974. Space satellites show a new ice age is coming fast. 1970, the Boston Globe ran a headline. Scientists predict a new ice age by the 21st century. Again, we're still in the global cooling time. And then all of a sudden that just flipped and it became global warming. Paul Ehrlich, biologist, famously urged the population control must happen because humans, well, we're just over. This is 1969. He warned that we have about 20 years and it will be a massive disaster of famine and so on, which never materialized. But he had a book called The Population Bomb that he had put out during that time, which was a big bestseller, and he was he was on every news media outlet, every magazine. I mean, it just went on and on. Let me see. 1967, Salt Lake City Tribune, dire famine forecast by 1975. 1969, New York Times. Unless we are extremely lucky, this is Paul Ehrlich again, everyone will disappear in a cloud of blue steam in 20 years. 1970, Boston Globe, scientists predict new ice age, 21st century. 1971, Washington Post, disastrous ice age coming. 1972, Brown University, letter to President Nixon, warming of global cooling. 1974, The Guardian, again, space satellites. Oh, ice age coming fast. 1974, Time magazine, another ice age, telltale signs everywhere. Since the 1940s, global temperatures have dropped 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. Again, in the 70s, it was all about global cooling. 1974, Time magazine, another ice age. Signs are everywhere. Since the 1940s, mean global temperatures have dropped. 1974, ozone